Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
Justin Robert Young.
Well, hello, friends.
And the man with his hand on the knobs, Mr. Bryce Castillo.
This is me going and adjusting the... We use faders, really, mostly. The knobs are pretty much
all
set.
All right, that was a very horrible intro.
Hi, everybody.
I'm like, I'll say knobs. It'll sound better, won't it?
So, shout out to all the tech heads, all the mixing board fans out there.
Our producer Bryce over there, please.
Hi. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I didn't get any sleep. There was a chainsaw next door. Like, you know, there was somebody handling the chainsaw.
Really feel a lot of sympathy for you. Talk about three friends of yours that are really just feeling a lot of sympathy for you and your lack
really
of sleep.
It's really rough because, like, normally I like to get about 9 hours or
so. Must be tough. A chainsaw, say?
And yesterday, like, I didn't get out much. I just had to sit around and lay around a lot.
Tell you what, certainly wasn't,
And I had my keys.
That's a good thing that you can find out at 2:30 in the morning as you approach your way home, finally, is that you've lost your keys in Austin.
Hoo boy.
Sorry. For those of you that don't know, the gang was at the South by Southwest Digital. How was that, guys?
A bit of a busy week. Turned out we did the night. Justin flew into town. We did the night attack. And then we decided last minute at 12:30 the following morning, let's say we hop on a plane, go up to Dallas. Let's go visit Glenn Beck's studio and visit our friend Andrew Heaton. Have a quick lunch, hop on a plane, come on back. And then let's get ready for our South by Southwasted event, including VIPs coming in from all over the United States to see shows.
And then I slipped in another show. I did another bonus because I figured we didn't have enough shows leading up through the weekend. I did another show on Friday with Mike TV, and then we did our big, gigantic South by Southwasted event. Thank you to everybody who came out to that. We had an amazing turnout, and it went shockingly all according to plan. Huge thanks to Bryce, who was instrumental in making sure
the miracle worker. By the end of it, we were crying and saying wah-wah. It was amazing.
Thanks.
thank you. I was saying, at least one of you got it.
I'm signing thank you.
Do you guys? You know what we're talking about? The end of the
Helen Keller.
Yeah, the miracle worker. The entire movie is somebody trying to get through to Helen Keller, and she keeps signing on her hand like WAWA, wah wah, this is water, and it ends with, you know, her experiencing water and grokking that the symbolic spelling out of hand gestures means this cool liquid in her hand.
That she never experienced before. What do they do? Like, they're covered water?
Because she had language and then lost it. That's the thing. Is she had gotten far enough in language that she was able to translate the experience of touching water into Wawa. But then she got ill and lost all of that.
I think she wanted a sub. I think she wanted a delicious Wawa sub.
And those shakes? Forget about it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm glad that we were able to feed the latent desire of the miracle worker heads that have fucked.
So just a little tiny after things moment. All you all, Brian, I want you to describe this weekend to Brian working at Dell a billion years ago.
Oh, God. All right.
you time travel into the office.
Not just like a bit, like almost 20 years on the nose. This is 20 years ago today. I am thinking like, maybe I should give this magic thing a try. Man, it's like, all right, Brian, not only will you give this magic thing a try, then you'll rock it so hard that you'll switch over to something called hosting shows on the internet. Yes, the internet has video, Brian. I know you don't believe this.
Porn, Brian? Am I doing porn? Don't tell me it's not porn.
But you will tell so many stories that people will travel from all over the freaking country to see you and your friends. Also, by the way, your friends with a bunch of people involved with Penn & Teller. It's great. You'll do a good show. And get this. You won't even do any magic. That's the part future me will not believe. Like, I'm going to try to make it in magic, and then I'm going to do something that doesn't involve magic.
All right, Justin, you're standing in line at the permit office.
Oh, Jesus. yeah. Hey, Justin, remember how you just got kicked out of your comedy troupe?
has that not happened yet? I came back to it. Okay, well, bad news. You're gonna get kicked out of a comedy.
Hold on, wait a minute. You haven't got kicked out yet? Quit right now. Give me your phone. I'm gonna text them right now and say I quit. You have hate in your heart, and I know it. I mean, geez, it was one of those moments where, you know, whenever your ambition kind of ratchets up to a certain level. This is like kind of like when you're working out and you can feel it, right? Because you can feel your body reacting to it. Is you always know when your ambition has reached a certain good level of growth when you can't really appreciate the moment because you're just redlining and making sure that everything is fine. And it's really only in moments like this afterward when you can look back and see all the pictures and see all the video and hear everybody being excited about it and know that at least it went well in the moment and people really enjoyed it, that you can appreciate it. But it was just awesome that we were able to pull it off. I mean, like, this is, you know, that was a legit venue and it looked fantastic and everybody had a great time. We didn't really have any drop off of people leaving. They stayed for 3 hours.
All right, Bryce, you're in middle school dealing DVDs of Bubblegum Crisis.
There will be a thing called podcasting and YouTube. I think I'd be very excited that I'm working in digital stuff and that all this stuff is working out that I can meet so many great people and work on a lot of great stuff like this.
There is something to the visceral nature of, and we've talked about this before, but it's like, it's one thing, you know, you turn on a mic, you talk into a mic, you talk to each other, you see a chat, look at numbers and you're like, those numbers seem big or whatever. It's a different thing when all of a sudden you got hundreds of people there and it's like, oh, wait, no, you know, we exist in this shared, wonderful delusion. This is amazing.
Yeah. Anytime there's live events, I always feel really proud when anyone is able to find me when I'm not wrangling some piece of tech and is able to say that they like something that I do with the shows or something, because it's like I don't know, it makes it feel very real when it's, especially with someone I don't know really, and knowing that they like it and that the stuff works.
Well, and it hits in a way that a DM wouldn't, right? Mm-hmm. A DM would be like, name, avatar, person, possibly my mom under in a alt, whatever, saying something nice. Okay.
Like the one for me from this weekend was someone came up to me after the show and was like, hey, a few months ago you guys were talking about dating, and it was really good to hear you talk about that because I am going through similar issues, it feels validating because we're not doing this in front of an audience 99.9% of the time. Right.
Right.
And so, it was great. It's great. You're gonna have a good time. Middle school friends.
Good time. I imagine like trying to explain to our much, much younger selves a show like this, right? Remember Hackers, and like they go tune in to watch the show Hack the Planet, which was like, which actually wasn't on the internet. It was like, I don't know, some hack TV station or something. It's like, you know, oh, in the future, you're going to be, you know, doing a show, talk about weird things. Imagine like techno music. Well, it does before the show, but, you know, blaring and all this sort of stuff. Not like, yeah, guys, so this weekend, you know.
yeah. More glamorous. It was super great, and man, I can't say enough thank you to everybody who made the decision to spend you know, hard-earned money coming out to the show, and specifically everybody who also did the VIP thing the next day. That was amazing and awesome, and really kind of financially sort of proved that this is viable. This is stuff that we can do. Mm-hmm. And I will say for sure that, you know, we've been building up to this for probably about a year now, just doing little shows. We did the Night Attack stuff on the road, but I would love to do a Weird Things live event. I would love to do more stuff that we have, and either as a big combination like we did on Saturday, or separately. You guys have demonstrated that we can viably put this kind of stuff together.
Wonderful. You know your event was missing something, though.
Oh, man. You know, you always think the next, you know, as soon as everything's done, you're like, I wish we could have done this, and I wish we could have done that. You know, I can never put my finger on it, though, Andrew. What was it?
I think there would be a really, really, really attention getting, could be really cool. Would have been, I'm sure what you guys did was swell, but there's this thing you could have done. And I think you do it right. I think the problem is somebody did this and it was cool, got a lot of attention, and some other people kind of like, I don't know about this thing. But I think between your brain power, your collective brain power, you know, what it's worth, I think you guys could have figured this thing out and could have done this better.
Okay.
Here is what I suggest.
All right.
Leading up to the event, Brian dies.
Well, I mean, I certainly have failed live on stage many times.
You die. Like, Brian, like, I mean, Brian, heart attack, sitting at the table. He's like, hey, the kids are at school. I'm going to eat some Fruit Loops. You're supposed to be on a diet. And then the report is you just collapse face first into it, all that.
I mean, Brian, magic is all about prep.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Then we turn South by Southwest So Wasted into semicolon a Brian Brushwood memorial.
Okay. I mean, that's
and casket viewing.
Okay.
Right.
I mean it is a once in a lifetime event. Like, we are definitely that
well,
is the buy
down. You can do it every year. You can just bring the body out. But anyhow, so it'd be a somber event. People up with beer. It'd be a somber event with lots of beer. On the stage, Brian's in the casket. Bryce is, you know, Bryce is actually nonplussed. It's really kind of weird. We thought he'd be crying. No. Bryce is just sort of like, we're like, he's just in shock. He's just in shock. He's like, hey, guys. I'm like,
yeah.
Brian's dead. Like, yeah. So do you watch the new Netflix series? Like, oh, he's just. It's like, oh, he needs to process it, you know. Justin, meanwhile, devastated, you know.
I'm throwing myself on the casket and you know, screaming to take me, like, it's ugly.
And then you fall to your knees and you're like, God, which I don't really believe in, but maybe now I do, and maybe I'm being punished, bring this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful man back.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I would do. That's you know, the emotion coursing through me. Of course I would say that.
And then you get everybody else to pray.
Okay. This is totally on brand for the show and for South by So Wasted. Brian's dead. I think that might be something we'd have to clear with the venue to bring a corpse in. But, you know, maybe I would honor Brian the way he lived and not tell the venue and just, hey, boss, a corpse into the stage area.
Everyone go get a drink now. We're about to do the prayer.
Yeah.
And then you shout, rise up, rise up.
Yeah, sure, of course, yeah, and we're chanting, rise up, rise up. At this point.
Also, assuming this is happening, what expectation does anybody have of, like, have you ever been to an open casket funeral in which somebody tried to, like, hey, bro, let's get a chant going, rise up, am I right? How great would that be? Rise up, grandpa, rise up, grandpa.
I mean, then, to be fair, look, yes, Brian, that has not happened in my life. But also, what a missed opportunity. What if that's all it took?
Well, you shout rise up, and then what happens is Brian bolts upright, bursts out of the coffin. I'm alive!
So full on screaming and shouting and talking.
Yeah, and dancing now.
Okay, all right. Press pause at this moment. What do you think the predominant emotion coming over the audience is? Like in waves as they go through.
Brian, I'll tell you what it will be. A jaunty honky tonk fun when you introduce the possum posse.
I'm just pitching this as an idea. Just a thought. It's already been field tested for us. That's the beautiful thing.
Oh my God, you're telling me somebody did this?
A South African pastor, he's facing lawsuits over this, over an alleged resurrection. A viral stunt by a South African pastor several lawsuits.
Oh my God.
We're looking at the photo of this guy. He's, and where's the pastor's hand, by the way?
Hello, huh?
Secret touch. He's got to touch him in the scroll place.
Yeah, in the scroll place. He wants to make sure he's not an imposter.
Everybody else around is like, in the face, like,
oh my goodness. So, what was the, I mean, how many people were in on it? And what was the intended outcome? Well,
not the funeral directors who are suing him.
Oh my God, there's a video.
There is a video, and the funeral directors are not pleased. He apparently ran this a fairly elaborate. He got like each piece of what he needed from a different funeral home, and then leveraged the reputation of the other funeral homes. To get the things that he needed from the other ones. And so that's how he got the casket and the hearse and the graveyard from three different places and then held this public demonstration.
Wait, so, okay, the pastor was not the one who allegedly died. The pastor was pretending to cast a spell and reanimate a corpse.
It would be you. You'd be the corpse, Brian. Justin would be like the pastor.
I'd be the pastor here. And the possum posse would still be the possum posse.
Oh, look at the mouth open, too. That's great.
Yeah, he's visibly breathing.
So everybody's like, okay, what I love are all the calm faces where everybody's being chill. Like, they all have to know. They're all in on this, right?
He's convulsing. I mean...
Well, you know, in some parts of the world, dead can, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, Bryce, the corpse has to settle a little bit. You know, it's the bodies work in strange ways.
And I like to think he decided that, like, you're buried with your mouth open. Like,
I feel like he turns and he's like, all right, which one of you stuffed him full of those Mexican jumping beans?
Nothing says twitching. Man of God like a gold-plated microphone.
Bryce, can you go a few seconds back real quick? Just because apparently Sergeant Pepper is there.
The man in a Sergeant Pepper's uniform.
Okay. What are the people who are mad about this mad about? Yes, it's disrespectful. Yes, it's manipulative. Yes, it is unkind to the emotions of people who thought that this person was dead. But, like, in general, are you saying, like, I like my dead people to stay dead? Thank you very much.
So there are a few things here, and this did go viral. Number one, the funeral homes are now suing him, which, by the way, if you think you're getting a dime out of somebody that tries to resurrect people, you know, for his church, then congratulations. Like, you are never seeing a dime of any money that you believe he owes you for reputation.
I think for them, just filing the lawsuit enough is for them to separate. Because for them, it's like, no, Ryan, like, it's not that they're not against resurrection. I think they just like, they like their dead people to be, you know, dead.
Actually dead. The other problem here, according to some of the articles that I read about this, is that there are church scams and pastors like this, that it's more of a real problem than one might hope. And that, you know, go ahead and take, remember all those stories that we learned in the dangerous world of comedy documentary.
Right.
Like stuff can escalate in very, very dangerous places. And that's before we even get to just scam money, which definitely happens here as well in America, where, you know, religious scams can just fleece, you know, the poorest among us.
Is there a cultural element of feasibility to this that makes it possible in that area that it wouldn't be, say, in, you know, Norway or whatever?
Well, you know, there's, as you study beliefs around the world, you know, we all have our blind spots, and certainly in countries that have, you know, a less critical media.
Well, and specifically I'm thinking about, like, we spent a lot of time chuckling at all the appearance of goblins out there, but then we found out that culturally the word goblin means something a little bit different, doesn't it?
Well, like possessed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think it's, you know, it's, and that's something we try to be aware of here, is like, and is that we go, look at these people over there. Look at our newspapers from 20, 30 years ago, and then think, what are things now, or things we get obsessed with? And, you know, and we have satanic panic, you know, things like this that cost real lives and stuff that happens here. And there are probably things right now that are more sophisticated, but yet prey upon the same vulnerabilities. So, you know, I think, but yeah, it is a less critical environment. It's less, you know, less sophisticated, that harder to get the word out. But, you know, I went to a friend's house. They lived in Parkland, actually. Their family, you know, was pretty well off. Father was in business. The mom was a nurse, you know, very, you know, the nice house, nice big family. I walked in the door one day and there was this big, giant wooden pillar, And I'm like, I turned to my buddy, like, what's this? And there's like a candle on top. Like, oh, my mom's psychic gave that to her. I'm like gave it to her. Like, yeah. Like, oh, so there's never been an exchange of money. He rolls his eyes. Well, yeah. And like, she spends tens of thousands of dollars or more on this psychic, you know, and this family is affluent. They're in a very nice neighborhood. They're all educated, you know, and she's spending, you know, tons of money. And the mom was a smart woman. She's a very smart woman, but she just fallen in for this.
Yeah, but I think I can imagine, or let me put it this way. I don't know whether this is true with this case or not, but I can imagine a situation where, for whatever reason, there's a severe negative stigma in a certain family about going to a therapist or a psychologist or whatever. But going to a psychic is fine. And but
they're, you know, claiming to get, you know, things about the future. And here, let's look at anti-vaxxers, you know, a great example of, you know, that rationale is based upon, you know, pseudoscience, but it has the veneer of being, I feel this way because of science. And so that's an example here of how, like, you know, we can go laugh, oh, all those people over there and this, but no, this overwhelming scientific evidence, I'm going to let my fear let me select which pieces I'm listening to or not.
At some point, you know, you enter that religious territory where what you're really doing is you're entering a shared community of people who have a shared set of cultural values, and it happens to be hinged upon, you know, what turned out to be a totally fraudulent study. But it's like, that's where logic breaks down, and it's like, well, I would like to remove this pin of this study that you guys have all rallied around. And everybody thinks, but I love my connection to these people. I love that we talk about our autistic children together. I love all these things. It's like, I cannot let you pull that pin out because I am afraid that everything will be torn asunder.
But also, too, that it's the belief is also based on more than the Wakefield study, which got totally debunked. There's other reasons to it. And so they'll be like, well, that study, but you see, and there's that other thing, and you're right to, like, there's a reason for why they're the group cohesion, but there is, you know, it's like talking to a flat earther. You know, you have to realize flat earthers, the main takeaway from their belief system isn't the earth is flat. It's that there's this massive massive conspiracy around the world to hide information from us.
Right, and that's kind of the beauty. That's why I almost feel like flat earth is a stronger or more robust, possibly maybe not anti-fragile, but a more robust thesis, because what it really asks is, do you feel like there's more out there than you're being told? Do you feel like the media lies to you and that that's why you're disenfranchised and upset and blah, 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 blah. Great. You're a flat earther. What does a flat earther mean? It means whatever you think it means. It's a big old amorphous blob for you to project your piece of the puzzle on there.
And that's I've always thought of flat earth as not. I don't think somebody wakes up and says, oh, I think the earth is flat. It's usually a Voltron of kind of other conspiracies and fears that then get put together. And flat earth then becomes the lie that has been protected the most. A lie literally as big as the earth that has been kept from you because there are these other elements that you are putting together.
And plus also, like, I can almost see joining that movement as sort of a badge of pride where it's like, are you somebody who loves challenging even the most fundamental core things? Do you love seeing other people twist upside down and get red-faced, frothing in the mouth, trying to explain to you the most rudimentary things? And do you love having a litany of shotgun counter-arguments to everything and just watch them go nuts? I think that's the game they're playing.
For the record, part of that is a different fork of the DNA of this very show, because part of the DNA of this very show was three guys that were coming from a skeptic perspective that were like, hey, can we stop being so hard ass about like Bigfoot and ghosts and stuff like that? Let's just understand why these legends are cool and interesting and exciting, and let's explore them and talk about them. We can have fun with them without saying that this is scientific fact and real. Like we were taking a truth in our community and subverting it and questioning the questioners.
Yeah. So we're all on board, right? Earth is flat, vaccines are bad, and resurrection's happening.
BRB, gonna go die.
I'll tell you who's gonna die. Your soul, if you don't give us money. Patreon.com/weirdthings is where you can give us coin, man. Here's the deal. You keep this show rolling at patreon.com/weirdthings. You get yourself a custom RSS feed so you can get our After Things podcast, where we will certainly open the kimono on everything that we put together for the South by Soul Wasted event. Any questions that you guys have about your own businesses, we love to talk about on After Things, and you get it first if you are a patron. So head on over there right now, patreon.com/weirdthings.
So, you know, Toto did this song, you know, The Rains in Africa, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got to rewrite it. Got to redo it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. But it's some random dude put a bunch of IKEA furniture in the desert and set up a whole thing. Like that would be really inconvenient.
Wrong place. Wrong place. Know where he needs to move that furniture to?
Where?
Where there's water and it's not quite rain, but it's moving. The moon.
Oh!
The
moon! I blaze the rains down in the moon.
A lot of, like, you know, Sea of Tranquility. So, apparently, you know, one of the big discoveries we had of the moon was exciting. This is like the last decade. This realization was that there was, like, in certain parts of the moon, like, you take 1 ton of soil, there's like 32 ounces of water, which is dry. Let's get that started. Like that's dry, but it's water. It's still water. More water.
I like the way
expected.
You say it as if it's at a champagne tasting. It's like, it's a bit dry, isn't it?
I would categorize the moon as a brute.
We get the thing is I've been involved in discussions where people were like, there's water.
I mean, I too enjoy a spot of the bubbly here and again, but my goodness, very dry the moon. I believe there's a golf ball here somewhere.
It's there, but it's just very dry.
I enjoy the crescent, the waxing gibbous, if you would. It's got a full, robust round palate.
I experience the terroir of the craters.
Have you tried the new Japanese probed section of the moon?
A cheese aftertaste. Don't you think?
You too, Bryce.
So look, we said full partner. We said full partner.
Okay.
I just don't want to do it anymore.
Oh no! Stop! All right.
So, the thing is that we hear water on the moon, and people are like, "Oh, it's great. We're gonna go there, and we're gonna mine it." Like, yeah, you can, but remember, it's like you're trying to go find 32 ounces of water in a ton of soil, which takes a lot of energy, a lot of solar power, a lot of nuclear, whatever, and all that, because it's so what?
Dry.
Yeah. So, but it's still there. Water. There's some water is actually different than absolutely no water. So it's still exciting. Apparently they're watching the water forms these globules and they move around. And I'm like, is this like rain or what are you describing here? But it's a little bit vague, but apparently the water's moving water on the moon.
This is me totally speculating of what it might look like, but you know, it gets hot on the surface of the moon when you're staring directly at the sun, right? So if there is water droplets nodules or globules of ice, when the sun hits them, they would sublimate. And then when the sun goes away, they would form ice crystals again and then fall back to the moon. So it would be kind of a form of precipitation.
Yeah. And it's they find that the water sort of ends up collecting in shadowed parts of craters. So, you know, it's a very interesting thing that it's like it apparently moves towards colder, cooler places, or that's where it ends up settling or collecting there.
These would be, I guess, at first on the surface, but then, I don't know. The good news is obviously we rather need water, and the more places it is, the better for humans to get out of our petri dish and head on out.
And I'm gonna throw out there a crazy thing to think about is that one of the features that is well theorized, poorly understood, and not a lot of direct evidence of is the number of potential massive, like large caverns in the moon. Because of from early activity, volcanic activity, whatever, there could be very large caverns, large structures under the moon's surface, right? You know, some people think you could have chambers as big as the city of Philadelphia.
You're talking specifically about the lava tubes that we've talked about before, or is there a different
Mars,
form?
Mars has those, and the moon, moon has those too, could have those, and there could be ones like we've talked about, is big enough to hold the city of Philadelphia. With this knowledge now, though, what that may imply is there might be a mechanism where water collects.
Oh, wow.
So then it becomes a matter of prospecting where it's like, okay, figure all across the moon, maybe let's say 10,000 lava tubes. I mean, you know, non-zero chance that one of them just happens to be a place that a lot of water has collected. And so if you're going to pick one spot out of the entire moon to colonize, you end up, you know, getting down there, heating it up, got yourself a little ocean, make yourself a little Philadelphia with the river and all.
Yeah, so like if, you know, Bryce just pulled up on Wikipedia, which was a photo of it's a lunar pit crater that looks to be like, if you have lava tubes, the way you sort of find them is periodically, you know, the ground above collapse inwards. So you're looking at, that is on, there are these features on Mars, and here we are looking at one on the moon. And this is a 100-meter deep pit, 300 feet approximately deep pit.
And of course, that's an ideal place to just, you know, throw a protective bubble over. You got sunshine, you got water.
Well, and when we talk about going back to the moon, things like that we want to explore. We've never sent a probe into anything other than the surface, and we've now finding these places where what we're going to find under there is going to be very different because it's shielded from the solar rays. It's going to have temperature, but it's going to have a more steady climate inside of there. And who knows, you know, what sort of phenomena could be taking place there.
Do we know how they found out about the water on the moon? What was the technical method? Was it just squinting real hard?
We're using new satellites with new methods. They're able to probe using different sort of, you know, infrared bands, et cetera, things like this. And
wait,
so you
a
can
minute.
Pick up the suit.
How many, when you say satellites, you mean satellites around Earth, or are there lunar satellites? Like, I have no idea how many lunar satellites there are. I have no idea how many Martian satellites there are. I mean, outside of the natural satellites.
Well, let's see.
Justin, do you have a guess?
How many lunar satellites there are?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go Baker's Dozen.
Yeah, we've got, let's see what's currently present.
Lock in your guess.
There's two Chinese. Then we have there's the Longjiang, which is a Chinese one. Chang Artemis. We have Artemis 1, Artemis 2, which are in orbit right now around the moon. And to study effects of solar wind on lunar surface, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we've got – America's got two. China has two orbiters right there. So – and then we've got, you know – so, yeah, that's, you know, active. And then, of course, you know, the NASA's next big mission is they want to do the Lunar Gateway, which is basically a space station in lunar orbit, which would allow us to deploy missions to the surface of the moon, which – you know, that's the next big plan after, like, you know, instead of, you know, a bigger space station around Earth, they want to do that next. So
that is so that's so bizarre that I never really paused to think about that. I wonder how many other satellites around other planets. Here's a question. You think we got satellites? this is a game called How Ignorant of NASA Missions Are We? Like, I hadn't really paused to think, like, do we have satellites orbiting Venus as well? Probably.
Not that I'm aware of. I think Mars and Moon are the only ones we have that.
Okay. All right. On an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly, like, I remember that it was a big deal back in the 90s that we were able to run around enough times to map Venus, but I guess there's not much of a point in keeping it going.
Yeah, we'll pull up our missions too.
Apparently, as far as detecting the water, one of the satellites, the Lyman Alpha Mapping Project, took ultraviolet imagery from 2009 to 2016 and noticed daytime variations showing a tiny amount of water molecules migrating around the moon based on temperatures.
So we still have in orbit around Venus, the Venus Express. The Japanese had a probe, didn't reach orbit around Venus. So as far as what's there, Magellan was there, and then it deorbited. It burned up in the atmosphere. flybys.
Are you like whispering so we don't hurt its feelings? That's
right. Well, no one is sensitive. It had one job. So we probably have several that are dead in orbit around there.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. NASA's trying hard. Like, hey guys, look at all this amazing stuff we're doing.
I mean, and again, like, NASA, calm down. You're gonna get to do even more amazing stuff. Yeah. You're just gonna have to use these off-the-shelf rockets to do it.
Well, when you look at some of the probes we've been sending to do, you know, flybys of asteroids and stuff, when you see the size of these things, I got to stand next to one of these things. It's bigger than a cargo truck, you know? And you're like, this is like a spacecraft. This is, you think a probe, I'm thinking, it's a couple coffee cans stuck together, an antenna, maybe, you know. You look at the size of this thing, you're like, this thing is huge, huge. It's amazing stuff. You know what else is amazing?
Hey, what's that?
You guys want to go in a race? Want to go in a race?
Yeah, I'm already racing.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we're going to do like a 5K. Does a 5K sound good?
Oof. I think I can make it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. We can run a 5K.
I mean, how many Ks? Yeah. No. Yeah, sure. I could do five.
We're going to do it in Memphis. We're going to do Memphis. We'll do Memphis 5K.
Sorry. I've only been walking in Memphis.
I'm gonna back your play on that one. I'm gonna say no side glances
I'm
allowed.
So confident in that one, I wanted to let it sit as long as it was going to.
So we're doing a 5K in Memphis. Justin's walking it for whatever reasons I don't understand.
Doing 5Ks in Memphis. think about water on the moon.
So y'all in? Y'all in on this?
Yes. No.
Yeah. Why not?
Memphis is a lovely city.
So there's only one problem. One tiny little problem.
Oh, well, I mean, that shouldn't be much. I mean, it's just one problem, right? Like, we can solve anything.
Yeah, I mean, what could the problem be? Maybe it's cold. I know it snows there sometimes. That's fine. I'm not afraid of...
I began this podcast by solving Brian's death for fun and profit. Like, this will be a walk in the park.
Yeah, your walk joke. I get it. Great touchback. Great comedy.
I mean... I don't know. I don't know. Do you really feel the way I feel?
I don't know. Talk to your friends at the old sketch comedy troupe.
Oh, no!
I hopped on my time machine. You got to vote him out. Vote him out. So anyhow, there's only one little tiny problem. One tiny, tiny, tiny little problem.
Yeah, getting to Memphis, that's fine. I mean, they're not a Southwest city, but we can fly into Nashville, get a rental car, be over there in no time.
Yeah. You know, by the way, it's also a hub for the UPS. UPS is a headquartered.
Wait, I thought it was FedEx.
FedEx. It's also headquartered.
FedEx. Andrew May just held up a note as if he's being held captive. Instead of holding up a newspaper, he scrawled the word, because he's muted now, he scrawled the word chainsaw.
It's back. Think of it as, I mean, sure, you could think of it, Andrew, as a show ruining sound keeps you from being a part of the program. I think of it as a free taste of Halloween Horror Nights. You know, you can just get all that ambient chainsaw sound.
I mean, the other nice thing is, like, we already got this one unlocked. Can we do a 5K in Memphis? Sure. End of story, right?
I sent Bryce the rest of it. I've been like hitting the mute switch off and on every time I hear it. And they're like giggling out there too as they chop down a tree. And they're like, chainsaw, wee! It's like super loud. So there's only one little problem.
What's that?
I mean, it could be a problem if you consider it a problem, or it's not a problem. It's
every
not a
problem is an opportunity, Andrew.
You know, a 5K, I imagine, would be very boring after a while. You're like, oh, I'm running. Buh, you know, like, great.
Sure.
Hey, it's you. Great, it's you. You want a little, I don't know. Like, what was some of your favorite video games from the 80s?
Jungle Hunt.
Great suggestion. What's one of the things you had to worry about in Jungle Hunt?
Them alligators and them fish and not catching that next vine. You had to grab that vine.
Yeah.
Vines are fine.
Yeah, look at that. Jungle Hunt. Oh, yeah, you were swimming, right?
Wow. I remember this game much more clearly than I thought I did.
Yeah, trying to avoid a boulder.
Savages. That didn't age well.
Yeah. Yeah.
What Jungle Hunt could have used.
What?
And I'm thinking of like, man, what was my favorite? It was like Montezuma's Revenge.
Oh, on the Apple IIe?
Yeah. What was, you know, one of the things you had to avoid there was.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Aztec.
I know.
Montezuma's Revenge.
I think there were snakes. Snakes?
Oh, I forgot which podcast we're doing. Yeah, wait, there can't be any snakes in Memphis, not on the streets where we're doing our 5K.
No, absolutely not.
We're going through the woods, boys. Forgot to tell you that. We're going through a nature park.
That's fine.
Some people who were laying out cones, planning out this 5K, sitting them down, looked over and noticed, hey, what's that?
Uh-oh.
It's been kind of a soggy day.
Was it an awakening pit of snakes?
Pretty much.
Spiders?
Oh, three foot long stakes out prime 5K spectator spot on tree before Memphis Rays. This is a massive, massive snake.
It says 3 foot. That looks like 3 meters, but maybe the tree's smaller than I perceive it as.
I also believe that the story is that there were two snakes.
Yeah, one's a rat snake. This is a rat snake, I think.
Mm-hmm. And the other was a copperhead?
Yeah,
I believe.
I mean, I'll tell you what. If you want motivation to run faster on your 5K,
that's almost like juicing.
That's
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So one of the Facebook posts that the park posted about in response to this said the rat snakes are non-venomous and help keep the rodent population in check. So even though they are large and intimidating to look at, they are a beneficial member of our ecosystem. Copperheads are also native to our area, and although they do carry venom, they're not aggressive unless provoked.
Copperheads deadly? My dog got bit by a copperhead and seemed okay. But I don't think they're deadly.
It
like
can
a
be
rattler.
Fatal, but it's not the most. But yeah, they're not aggressive. You know, when 5,000 humans come marching through their territory.
It's if there is one thing that's going to turn them aggressive, it's going to be 5,000 humans running at them going, rah, rah, rah.
All that bare exposed flesh of the legs.
That's terrifying. That is a horrifying sight to see. Brian, would you ever want a snake that size in your house? Like if one of your daughters really, really wanted a snake?
No. Like a pet snake?
Not so much. Although Josie is a big fan. She's got lizards. So she's astonishingly good at feeding them. They've been around for like half a decade now.
What if I were to tell you that she also really, really wants to get a snake?
Did she tell you that she wants a snake?
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
I mean, wouldn't be the most off-brand thing we've ever done on this podcast is to get an official mascot.
To get mascot, yeah. Hey, how about picks? Brian, do you have any picks you'd like to pick up?
Hey, man, go see that Captain Marvel. It's a movie. And then we can talk about it.
I mean, geez, how much do we...
I didn't like it. I didn't like Captain Marvel, and I didn't think it was a very good movie.
I would prefer to have no public opinion on it, but I agree with that.
I would tell you, but there's a chainsaw by my window, so I can't really...
I mean, look, I don't want to take joy from anyone who derived a lot of joy from it.
Here's the problem. I literally did nothing but put on multiple shows and go see Captain Marvel since we last did this program. So, like, I've spent, like, from Tuesday on, we were doing either Night Attack shows or guesting as Night Attack or setting up Night Attack stuff. So I did not get a chance to see a lot, but I did see Captain Marvel. It wasn't my favorite. I'm excited for Endgame.
But I'm gonna speak on behalf of everybody. I don't think anybody will disagree with me here.
Yeah.
Our attitude is this. If you like a thing we don't like, then we're glad you like a thing. You're not wrong to like a thing. You can like a thing for different reasons. So if you like a thing, maybe a movie or something like that, then good. We all kind of wished we were you.
Well, look, there's in general, it's not a movie that I have a lot of joy. It's not like Rogue One where I was just specifically cheesed off about a lot of things that were very nerdy arguments that I enjoyed having. This is one of those movies that I don't have a lot of. I mean, if we were to get into a conversation about why I was not a fan of it, I have very boring reasons why I was not a fan of it. There's one very nerdy reason that did irk me a little bit, but it's a spoiler in the movie. So I look forward to having that conversation in a few months when everybody sees it.
Yep, that's a good way to put it. Although I don't think it's a spoiler to say that in general, you know, superhero movies are a bit like video games where you want them to be powerful, but there is such a thing as an overpowered hero, and that's a problem that they've dealt with multiple ways in Superman, where it's like, make sure to have a kryptonite thing, make sure to make it not about the story of how powerful he is, but instead make it a, you know, tell an immigrant's tale of coming to love the United States and becoming all-American USA, even though you're an alien or whatever. Those are interesting. You know, figure out a way to make them weak and then strong or whatever. But in general, like my two biggest beefs are just the world had no consequences, and I would have preferred to be scared for literally anything to happen.
It's actually funny that you brought up Superman, because I watching the movie, I'm like, oh, this is falling into a lot of the problems that Superman movies tend to have, which is that my least favorite Superman movies, unless they're going to be very big and fun and charming, like the ones in the 80s, like the Donner films were, my least favorite ones are where Superman's very powerful, and then at the very end, he's going to do something that involves how powerful he is, except this time he's going to really struggle and then squint, and then his power will be enough that he'll be able to do the thing that
or
hard.
Tell a story where, oh, wait, what do you do if how powerful you are doesn't solve the problem, which was the very first Donner Superman, where it's just like you can only save one. You could save this or that. That's interesting. And there's an unfortunate lack of anything like that in Captain Marvel.
I have no public opinion, but I'll take your word for it. I agree with your word, and I'll take it. I'm glad you're saying it and tweeting it right after we left the movie. I certainly don't want to do that, because I have no interest in having the cultural conversation that everybody else wants to have about this movie. Zero.
Man, I'll tell you what. My favorite scene was
Andrew's when saying that he has two picks that he wanted to get to.
One is a chainsaw. Oh no, there are two chainsaws.
Chainsaws.
I've got a pick.
Oh, good.
I've got a pick. Yeah. I think I might have talked about this. Oh, I think this was just in the after talk on Cord Killers. But we had a guest on Cord Killers who reminded me that the show was out. It's a new YouTube premium original show, Weird City. It's from Jordan Peele and one of the head writers from Key and Peele. And I really enjoyed this. You know, it was six, like, half-hour, like, anthology little stories set in a shared city where there's a haves and a have-nots. There's, like, literally a border, like an immigration border between the upper class and the lower class. And the only thing I didn't like about it was how positive it was from the beginning, because I kept having to stop and think, like, why is this not dystopian and, like, super, 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 like, heavy? Or I was waiting for it to turn. But I really dig it. It's a super quick watch. And
is it better to know that that's never coming, or does it come?
It's
or,
better to know that. No, it is better to know.
Okay,
that.
So it's, like, more, it's going to be positive. Right. This is not Orphan or Black Mirror.
This is not Black Mirror. Yeah. This is Key and Peele.
Correct.
And so... It's cool. There's a lot of big names attached to these different episodes. LeVar Burton is in almost every single one of them. He's a central figure in this city, and it's goofy and it's wacky, and that's where a lot of the humor comes from. Because Black Mirror is very much like, this is a very likely thing that could happen given technology we know about, where this is all goofy and jokey stuff. So. If you have YouTube Premium, I recommend Weird City. You probably can watch the first episode for free. The first episode is very cute. Your first episode is almost too cute. I don't think it should have been the first one, but Weird City.
That was a real up and down, positive thumbs up.
It's good.
My pick is my Bose in-ear noise-canceling headphones.
Wait, do you have the same ones that Brian has?
Brian's his neck brace.
Brian's got the dog collar. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing that he uses to give Lando Calrissian help when, like, the Empire's taken over.
I'm Lobot.
So that's my pick.
Do you have?
I don't know. The ones that go in your ear, the noise canceling.
Cool. Just general Bose headphones.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. But they're good. Noise canceling headphones are great if you want to focus and you want to tune out the world. It is. I love them for airplane flying. For you, as you know, anybody who has them, when you fly, it's a very different experience with noise canceling headphones. And the in-ear are great because they're not bulky, and it's easier to sleep with them. So,
oh my God, they are God's Ambien. the ability to cancel noise coming into your ears will make you fall asleep so much faster on an airplane.
And the price is steep. I remember going, a couple $100 on headphones. It's like, nope, it's a private little room. It's a little private room you get to take everywhere. It's like a little TARDIS for your ears. You just pull it out and put it on, and the next thing you know, you're in a very different world.
Take it from a lot of folks who have done a lot of traveling. If the difference is you get any sleep, it's never going to be good sleep, but if you get any sleep in a time when you really need it or want it, that's crucial. And also, man, if you're on planes a little bit, it helps to have that fast forward button to just get you to the end of whatever hours you're up in the sky.
Gentlemen, it's been very loud.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this broadcast.